Good morning. We are focusing on our new vision statement. Kneeland Church seeks to be a community of hope where we all experience and extend the deep welcome of Christ. Romans 12 presents a picture of that kind of community that can be found on page 1761. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to be a test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of the Lord.
This is the third message in our series on the new vision statement at Kneeland. Kneeland Church seeks to be a community of hope where all will experience and extend the deep welcome of Christ. We have heard the main thing. Jesus Christ is the one who invites us to come. His load is easy and light, we have just sung. And when we experience the deep welcome of Christ, we share that with others. And we become this amazing new community. So we come to be what? To be something new in Christ. So today we will focus on that phrase, a community of hope. The last chapters of the letter to the church in Rome show us what the body of Christ, the community of hope, looks like. In his book, How to Read the Bible Through the Jesus Lens, Michael Williams says that when Paul wrote to the Christians in Rome, he wanted to make sure their understanding of the faith was well-grounded, and he desired his readers to know and experience as fully as possible the new life they have been given in Christ. And Paul describes this new life as daily offering ourselves to God, as those who have been brought from death to life. It involves being led by the Spirit of God to experience more and more the divine gifts of abundant life as it expresses itself in serving God and others. And this is what we discover in Romans 12, that abundant new life in Christ. Our life in Christ begins with individual transformation. When God meets us in the person of Jesus Christ, who invites us to come to him and offers the gift of grace and mercy to each one of us, we are changed. So Paul begins Romans 12 by urging us individually to respond to this gift by offering ourselves, body and soul, as living sacrifices to God. That's our worship. And then he tells us to be transformed. Don't conform to the world around us, but be transformed. And then as we individually live into the new life God is working within you, we look around. As you see others, don't think of yourselves as better than them, but recognize that you are part of that same body. You all together are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ, and there are so many gifts given to each of you, all for the sake of belonging to each other and building each other up. Each gift is important and is valued in the community of Christ. And the list in Romans 12 that Danny read so meaningfully is not exhaustive. There are other gifts, gifts of healing and planting and cleaning and making music and so much more. I love watching it happen and participating in that sharing of gifts in the community at Neyland, in the body of Christ here. I saw it yesterday as people came for a cleanup day, working inside and outside the church, and as cadet counselors made sure the boys had some food to eat before they left and the supplies they needed for the campout. I've seen it as teachers sign on for another year of church school and consider new ways of engaging with students who aren't coming back to church yet. I saw it a couple weeks ago in the block party when people prepared and served food and organized guessing games and cheered on those kids winning those cans of pop. And as people sat at tables with old friends and new neighbors and enjoyed fellowship together. I saw the community of Christ in action. And it begins with love. Notice how verses 9 to 13 are full of commands to act, to be this, to do that. Yet Paul doesn't tell people that they need to love. That's assumed. It's expected of people who follow Christ that we love one another. Instead, he writes about how that love should look. It should be sincere, without hypocrisy, with the affection and commitment of family. New Testament scholar Elizabeth Shively captures Paul's encouragement this way. She writes, "Let your love be heartfelt. Be eager to show each other honor. Be set on fire by the Spirit. Be devoted to prayer. Contribute to, literally participate in, the needs of the saints. And pursue hospitality. She writes, to participate in others' needs is to give of yourself and your own resources for their material needs, like food and clothing and shelter. True love, she writes, is fervent, relentless, and practical. And as I think about our vision statement's community of hope, verse 12 stands out. Be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be faithful in prayer. And it reminds me of the assurance of pardon that Deb read from Romans 5. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. God's love, perseverance, hope, these characterize the community of hope at Neyland for me. And all of the stories that we share with each other about how people are walking together through faith and life. In early August, I had a message about how the Spirit of God points to Christ and works in us to help us live for Christ. And I mentioned the artist, John August Swanson, whose paintings beautifully and expressively demonstrate the glory of God, and whose own love for others was evident to everyone he met. About this painting, Procession, John August Swanson wrote, "We, in our communities of faith, are a procession of stories. Stories both unique and shared. Stories connected to those who have gone before us and those who will come after us. Somehow we realize that our story is part of a larger story, a big story of heaven coming to earth and bringing forth new life." He writes, "The great procession is a celebration of life and faith where the rich and poor march in unison. The strong carry the weak, and the weak humble the proud. Those who know the dance teach those who are just learning, and a child lifts high the banner for all of us to follow in joy, in peace, in love." He says, this is the reality, the spirit I want to make real in this work, this painting of procession. John August Swanson died this past week, and the tributes have been flooding in. Doctoral student Emily Grosvenor said, "To meet John August Swanson was to feel seen and loved and cared for." She said, "One would be hard-pressed to leave his company without some sample of his work to lend hope and to remind the person receiving the gift where the Spirit's beauty, justice, and hope are ever to be found, in community with the other." That's so beautiful. In community with others, the Spirit's beauty and justice and hope are to be found. And these shape our stories of community at Neyland too. And this is the kind of community that Paul describes in Romans 12 and in most of his letters to the churches. Our life in Christ begins with the Spirit's transforming power, and it grows in the community of believers. It flourishes in love and hope and patience and prayer. And then it starts to spread. It spreads to those outside the church when we offer hospitality to strangers. And Paul says, bless even those who hurt you. Live in harmony. Get along with each other to the best of your ability. Pursue peace instead of digging in your heels about whatever divides you. Can you see how the community of hope keeps expanding? First, we come to be in a personal relationship with Jesus, who invites us to come to him and take on his easy yoke, and we are transformed by our life in Christ. And then we come together with those who have discovered Jesus. We experience together the deep welcome of Christ. Within that community, we learn to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. We learn God's will. We are members of one body, each with different gifts. The gifts are first for building up the community of Christ. We love and honor one another. We serve the Lord with fervor. We are joyful in hope, patient in trouble, faithful in prayer. So we share with the Lord's people. And then we extend the hospitality to others who may yet need to discover Jesus. And we bless and rejoice and mourn together. We live in harmony with each other. We try to do what is right and live at peace with everyone. Then finally, we offer kindness even to those who turn their back on Jesus, those who are our enemies. We do not take revenge. Instead, we look to God, and we see how God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the amazing grace of God. While justice demands revenge, grace demands a new way of living together in peace. And Paul commands the congregation in Rome and all of us to love, to overcome evil with good, to extend the love of Christ even to our enemies. Congregation, our family has had a number of relatives visiting this month, and one of them was asking me about church and wondered about that word, congregation. I told him it was the group of people who are part of our church. And then later I remembered this quote by Eugene Peterson. A Christian congregation is a company of praying men and women who gather for worship, who then go out into the world as salt and light. That definition of congregation partly explains the kind of community we desire to be. People who gather for worship and experience the love of God and the fellowship of the body, who then go out to be the light of Christ. Or perhaps the community who invites others to come in. A community of hope. Now there is much to be said about experiencing and extending the welcome of Christ to friend and stranger, to sharing our faith and God's grace with people from all walks of life. And we will continue to explore that in the weeks and months and years to come. Tonight's gathering to hear about a new overture in response to the Human Sexuality Report is one way we try to live that out. In another letter to the churches, Paul writes about faith and hope and love. And he says the greatest of these is love, the love of God and the love we show to one another. And yet, for our vision statement today, I'd like to conclude with another illustration of hope. In Romans 8, Paul wrote, "For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." This past week, I was talking on the phone with Annetta while she was in the hospital. As I often do, I asked if she would like to choose a scripture for me to read before I prayed with her. Annetta asked for Lamentations 3. This is the lament of a person in despair. I can see how Annetta chose it after her summer of poor health. Lamentations 3 begins this way. I am the one who has seen affliction by the rod of the Lord's wrath. He has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. The lament continues. And then verse 20. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet, this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Friends, I can see how Annetta chose this text, Lamentations 3, in the midst of her troubles. This text that also confesses hope in the Lord. And I think she ministered to me as much that day as I ministered to her. She reminded me how important it is to not only have our lives rooted in Christ, but also to be part of a community who loves sincerely and whose hope is in the Lord. We can remind each other of that. We walk together through trouble, and we celebrate together. We pray for each other faithfully, and we extend hospitality to friend and stranger. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Friends, come to be a community of hope, a community of hope where we experience and extend the deep welcome of Christ to each other and to everyone we encounter. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Holy God, send your Spirit among us to stir us to worship, to transform us to your will, to enable us to use the gifts you've given to us so freely for the good of the body. Help us to love without hypocrisy. May we be joyful in hope, patient in trouble, faithful in prayer, and as we experience the love and grace of Christ, help us to extend that deep welcome to others. In Jesus' name, amen.